Hey guys, this is Ray from Lowwater, and you're listening to Anti-Hero Online.
All right, so before I started recording, we were talking about the little tour run that you guys got going up and leading to the kickoff of the tour with Seven Dust, Tremonti, and Kane Hill that kicks off next week. Tell me a little bit about this pre-tour run that you guys got going on.
The tour is starting in Texas, and we're from Georgia, so we needed to find a way to get there without just, you know, driving straight. And we wanted to play some shows, test out some of the new tunes and some of the new like ideas for the set, because we're always trying to, you know, bring something new. So it's, you know, we're just playing a little string of headlining shows with some friends of ours and some other bands that we've managed to scrounge up. And I guess I don't know, I'm it's very fun, and I should sound more excited about it, but I'm very excited about Seven Dust run. So this is just like our practice round two, kind of, but that sounds bad. We're having a lot of fun at the shows.
And how are you guys kind of utilizing this to kind of warm up for that tour that's coming up with Seven Dust? Are you guys just kind of using this to try out some new things with the set list and, you know, trying some new stage
stuff?
We're
road testing new songs. We're trying to streamline our set list. We really want to, something I don't think we've put as much attention to in the past is like putting on a full performance, I guess, instead of just kind of like having our songs back to back. So we're really trying to like weave some weave the songs together with transitions and you know, just jams and figuring out everything down to the minute as well, because we only have 30 minutes on this upcoming tour for our set, so we don't want to inconvenience anyone else, go over or anything like that.
And how important is it for you guys to kind of have this going up to such a big tour?
We've done tours, not maybe quite this big, but we've done tours before where we didn't have the lead up. And I mean, it's always nice to kind of be a little warmed up before you really hit the ground running. So I feel like it's going to help us be a little less stressed on opening night for this run.
Yeah, and you guys will already be warmed up, so all that nervousness and everything will kind of be out the door.
Yeah, definitely. We get to iron out the kinks. I think one of John's guitar pedals was having some issues, so, and his amp too, so we got that all handled today. So it's really just giving us time to, you know, make sure everything is running as smoothly as it can before it really counts.
Hell yeah, that's awesome. I kind of like that mentality that you guys are kind of having. Like, iron out all the details, get everything right now, and then when it comes time for the big guy, then you guys are going to be 100% ready for it.
Yeah, and we've been practicing for this for months, and we've been trying to maintain a regular practice schedule these days anyway, but you can't be too prepared. So we're just trying to find things that maybe we haven't worked on in the past that we can improve on, because we don't want to just kind of get complacent, especially with our new album coming out, and we're really excited about it, all these cool new songs. We just want to be at the top of our game.
Oh, hell yeah. And kind of jumping forward with the tour with Seven Dust, Tremonti, and Kane Hill, what are you guys looking forward to the most about that lineup? I mean, it's kind of like all over the place a little bit. You got Seven Dust, which is a little bit more heavier than Tremonti, and Kane Hill is kind of a different breed of metal involved in that. What are you
Kane
looking
Hill
forward to?
Kane Hill kind of reminds me a little of, they're kind of like some, a little bit of a new metal throwback, but not fully. Like they have some new metal vibes. I actually caught them at a show in New York a few months ago. I didn't even know who they were. My friends were opening for them, and I went through and I was impressed. And then I found out a few weeks later that they are on the run with us. I was like, oh wow, what a cool coincidence. I think what I'm personally most excited about is Tremonti, because I'm a huge Alter Bridge fan. So that's just a huge, huge thing. The guy who's really, I'm sure everyone, Alter Bridge is phenomenal creative force, but Tremonti just seems like he's like the guy that brings it all together in that band. So I'm going to be a little star stricken in that regard.
I'm sure you'll get over that after the first couple of shows, and then
yeah,
you'll just
well,
be like,
just,
oh, it's that guy again.
Yeah, but I guess it's not as bad, though, because I'm a bassist, so if I were a guitar player, I'd be kind of really freaking out, because he's a guitarist. If you don't know, he takes he's taking like lessons from Michelangelo Batillo, who's like the guy who's like ambidextrous, plays four neck guitars and stuff. So Mark Tremonti is a monstrous player. So I've just been telling our guitarist, Benny, I'm just like, just make sure you shred really hard.
Don't embarrass yourself.
Bring it. Yeah, but you know, he's going to do great. He's a phenomenal guitarist in his own right. So,
and as a band that's kind of on the rise, what do you feel about this big opportunity that you got in front of you with the, you know, with the power that and the presence that these big bands are going to bring, and especially the crowds that they're going to bring with them?
Oh man, I don't even know how to answer that. We are always excited for any opportunity that we can get, and we try to look at anything that comes our way as a way. We try to find the opportunity in our circumstance. But this is just, you know, this is like one of those, you just falls into your lap, and you're like, oh well, you know, wow, that's. Yeah, that's good. This is pretty good scenario, guys. So we just want to go out there and be as energetic and appealing to the crowd, and you know, connect with people who haven't seen our music before. And I think it's a good platform to do that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And kind of stepping away from the tour and talking about the new acoustic album.
We decided we wanted to make an acoustic album because Voodoo for a year and some change now, and you know, we always want to be creating and producing things, but we had the opportunity to go out on an acoustic tour with our friends Candlebox a little while ago, and we did the Alice in Chains MTV Unplugged kind of vibe, because nice. Like it's hard for us to not be a loud rock band. So even when we're acoustic, we have to be a loud rock band. So I was on electric bass. Joe was just on drums, and the other dudes are just, I think Benny was on acoustic. Yeah, other dudes were just playing acoustic. But we were really surprised at how well all our songs translated, and the reaction was really better than we anticipated as well. So we decided that while we were ironing out the business of the Voodoo album release, that we should be doing this too. And we went in, we brought one of our producers out, Justin Davis, our sound engineer and producer and like secret member of the band for years and years. And he came out to Athens, and we tracked the acoustic album, and we did some cool things to some of the songs. Added some new leads in, added some new, we added strings and keys and lots of cool things that we hadn't done. We just tried to explore the soundscape. We have songs from our previous albums. We have a song that we dug up from an album that is, you could maybe find it, but it's not on Spotify, and we try to not have that one available. And then we have some songs from Voodoo, and it's a pretty sweet little album, in my opinion.
And I mean, for you guys, what was the biggest influence for you to kind of do an entire album acoustically? I know for some bands, it's a challenge because there's a lot of things that are stripped away. And, you know, it's just you guys and your instruments. What, convinced you guys to take that risk to do an acoustic record?
So we kind of cheated, and we didn't strip everything away because we still have our drums. We still got bass. If anything, it might be a little easier for us because we're already kind of a stripped down band to begin with. Like for all of our electric albums, even this most recent one that's going to be released soon, we haven't recorded with a metronome or anything. Usually we're not. Usually we try to not add too much more to a song that we couldn't reproduce live.
Yeah.
But I think, yeah, the biggest influence of this was just we got out on the tour with Candlebox, and ourselves and the audience really vibing on some of these songs that we did. And we're just like, man, you know, it'd be kind of a shame just to have this be this one-off thing. But also, we're not trying to be the band who just goes out and does acoustic tours, because at our heart, we are just like a ripping, guitar-driven, solo-y, loud, angry rock band. At least for me personally, when we were going to do that, my inspiration when we decided to do an acoustic album was like, well, we should probably make it as Alice in Chains-y as we can.
Yeah. And that's probably them, and Nirvana is probably two of the most iconic unplugged sessions. So Yeah, definitely absolutely. You definitely pulled from a great place.
Yeah, I just, you know, we really like the music that we like, so we think it's great. So anything we're influenced by, we think is great.
And kind of stepping away from the acoustic album, let's talk a little bit about Voodoo. What did you guys want to do differently musically that you haven't done in the past with this record?
I guess to put it in kind of an analogous way, we wanted it to be our Wasting Light, like, you know, Foo Fighters album.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I feel like we just wanted to go in and we wanted to capture the grit and the rawness that we have, but we also wanted this album to be more polished than our previous efforts. So, you know, we even though somehow we still haven't managed to make it around to recording with a metronome, which we may one day do. I'm always pushing for it. But we spent an entire week of our month in New Orleans just sitting down and tearing songs apart and piecing them back together again from the parts, and, you know, making sure our arrangements were tight and that we had to do a lot of so there's a thing anytime you hear a band says that we matured on an album, I think it means that they did less of the things that they like initially wanted to do, or like, you know, like their knee-jerk reaction as a musician. I think it, and especially like personally, I have to try to control this a lot, is just to, you know, play a lot of stuff. You're like, oh, you're playing really fast, you're playing intricate, it's really exciting. But we tried to really serve the songs with everything that we did on this album, even if that meant like not playing the most intricate bass line all throughout the song, just hold it down sometimes. Or yeah, so we just wanted to make an album, and I use that phrase to, you know, if you were to go buy a record and you put it on and you listen to all of side A, you turn it over and listen to all of side B, and you're just like, wow, that was a piece of work. Like, it all was cohesive, coherent. Like, it's an album. Like, in the heyday of people really just trying to create full works. That's what we wanted to do.
And did the environment of New Orleans kind of have any inspiration or influence on the music as you guys went into the studio?
Absolutely. So, I mean, we weren't thinking of New Orleans when we were writing these songs. It was just our producer, Jakob Herman, suggested that studio because he's worked there before and he loves it, highly recommends it, and it was great. But when we got to New Orleans, of course, the influence seeps in. The album's name is Voodoo, so that wasn't planned. That, you know, that tells you how much influence it really held over us. But we just... the studio was like a block away from the French Quarter, and we were there in October, so it was with Halloween, and just incredible vibes, and we just really tried to immerse ourselves in the local scenes, and especially the local bar scene when we could get out of the studio. But yeah, it's crazy, it's hectic, it's complete chaos down there, but it's also like this really like vibrant environment with lots of creativity, lots of resilience. It's just like, it definitely influenced us, and we all started to go a little crazy by the end of it. Because living in New Orleans is, can I say bad words on this show?
Yeah.
It's kind of a mind fuck to just, it's like Groundhog Day, but every day is in Mardi Gras. But it was a wonderful experience, and a way that influenced the music in a like an aural sense directly is we had some additional musicians come play on our album. We had some horns come in, we had strings. Actually, Rick Nelson, the studio owner from Marini Studios, which is where we recorded, provided strings on the album, and it's crazy. He's so talented. That's the other thing about New Orleans is every single person down there who plays music just can outplay any one of us. So just everyone's a monstrous player, and they're just like jamming on the street, and you're just like, geez, why am I here? And like, why am I the one like about it? Like, can I just get this guy to play my bass lines? But it's definitely an influential, inspirational place to be for a creative person or a musician.
And did some of the sounds of the city come to you as you guys were kind of exploring and be like, hey, that might be cool if we add it to this song or if we incorporate that in the background of this song.
Yeah, I think so, because we weren't really thinking about having horns. We just, when we first were blocking out time for the album recording, we had our first week was just arrangements and making sure the songs were tight. And then we recorded everything, and then we had several days allotted just for auxiliary sounds, and we didn't really know what they were going to be. But just as the songs kind of took shape, we would just sit and think, be like, oh, what should be here? And I'm sure being surrounded by all these horns and everything, all the New Orleans jazz, it definitely had to subconsciously influence that. And it was also, you know, it's like the tools of the area that you have to work with, like, you know, the local musicians, lots of session players that are horns and such. So it was available, and it was, you know, in this, if you know, the win with the feeling of the project. So we just decided to, you know, try it, and I think it turned out phenomenally, in my biased opinion.
So it sounds like you guys did took a note from the Foo Fighters book with Sonic Highways, and kind of let the environment in the city that you were in inspire the music as well.
Yeah, I guess we did, actually. I didn't really think about it like that. It's funny because I said this is our Wasting Light, and maybe that wasn't the right album choice there. but something that we do on all of our albums so far is we've gone to different studios, but it's kind of been like almost like a pilgrimage or an experience every time. So our first, the self-titled, we went to Seattle, and that was like our Mecca, and we're trying to just, you know, do our little grungy thing.
You get that grunge influence, yeah.
And then the second album, we went out to Texas to this place called Sonic Ranch, and it's the largest residential recording studio in the world, and it's just a trip. There's just so many weird, crazy things about that place. It's haunted. One of their studios has half the consoles the Beatles used. They have, like, I think, like, Salvador Dali paintings. It's a eclectic place, so that we just got this weird vibe on Revival, and then we went to New Orleans and got that vibe, and I don't know where we're going to do the next ones, but we got to do something crazy, because it's just, it seems to work.
Yeah, and that was going to be my next question. You know, I know the albums aren't out yet, but kind of looking forward to the future, what musical direction would you want to go, and what influences would you like to bring into the music with the next one?
That's a interesting question. Personally, I don't really think about when, I guess, like, early on when we used to not be as rocky, and then I joined the band, and then we were kind of finding our sound, we had those sort of, like, I don't know if they were even, like, consciously having those discussions, but we were just listening to a lot of the music that was influencing our sound, and we're like, we should sound like this. But nowadays, I think we kind of found where we're going, you know, like, not to say that that's the end of the progression, but we kind of found the lane that we want our sound to be in. And now it's just, whenever I hear things or we hear things that we're playing, or just we try to make each song its own thing. So I'm not going into a songwriting and be like, all right, well, now our last album was like, you know, we should turn up the intensity by 15%, maybe, you know, or like, it's just we try to see what's just, you know, falling out of our hands and mouths at the time and brains, and make the best music that we can out of that. And my personal songwriting style is, I've written some of the riffs, but for the most part, I prefer for John or Benny to be playing, and then I'll hear something and I'll say, wait, stop, do that, or loop it this way, or change this. So, and then we just are kind of exploring to see what we can come up with as a unit.
And it seems like as a band, you guys like to bounce ideas off of each other. You kind of don't go in with a narrow mindset. You kind of just go in and jam, and then you're like, oh, okay, I like that. What if you did this?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, I've been a band with all these great, very naturally talented musicians, and we all respect each other, like, on personal and musical levels. So It's just, we also, you know, like, we've recorded together so much now. It's, recording is a stressful time, but at first, especially, everyone's like, oh no, this isn't good. And everyone will get like offended. But now we're at the point where we just like know how to work with each other. And we're all just saying like, hey, we should try this. And someone's like, oh, that might be dumb. We're like, yeah, but like, we're so together that we can just, you know, bust it out, just give it two runs, see if it sounds good. And if it does, you know, we explore it. If not, we don't. So we just, we don't dismiss anyone's ideas just off the rip.
And kind of after the tour wraps up, what are you guys' plans going forward for the rest of 2019?
Well, we're going to be having Jamai Vu come out in the spring to summertime. But currently, we're just trying to line up tours, hopefully can book some tours, some festivals. We just want to be, you know, broadcasting ourselves to the world as, you know, as directly as we can.
That's awesome. And that's pretty much everything that I got for you. Is there anything that I didn't touch on that you would like to add?
I think that's it. I hope I'm not forgetting anything. But yeah, we got the Seven Dust Tremonti Tour. We got Voodoo, got Jamai Vu. Yeah, it seems like everything that we can talk about to the moment is being covered. So I appreciate your thoroughness.
Oh, it's no problem, man. And one last thing, tell our listeners where they can find you guys on social media, keep up with tour dates, where have you guys got a website they could click on and kind of follow you from there.
Absolutely, you guys. So you know, we're Low Water, and you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, although we don't really use that kind of like we maybe should.
Nobody uses Twitter.
I don't get it. It's like, it feels like it's like if you like you're yelling in a forest alone. I don't know. But we do have it, and if you tweet at us, we'll tweet back. We're just maybe not the most proactive tweeters. We have a ton of videos on YouTube. We love doing music videos, and we've, you know, got maybe like 6 or 7 up right now, maybe a little more, and then we got some more coming. And we have our own website, lowwatermusic.com. And that will be a good hub to find whatever you might need from there. I think it probably has links to all of the aforementioned sites.